Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Luke Goody in the studio. We've been fortunate all season long to be joined by the sharpshooter from the Illini. Made some big threes in the Iowa State game.
Oh.
Got to shout out the sponsors before we get to this. Excited to have him here in the building. Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend. First Federal Savings Bank, local and trusted. Max Twin City Recycling as well. Luke, how you doing, man? Congrats on a great season.
Yes, sir. Thank you. It's good to be back in studio.
What? I mean, explain that run. How fun was that?
Yeah, it was pretty fun. Playing the first week in the previous 2 years and not make it out, and then to make it past, just to see, kind of the reception that I had for the students on campus. There were people on campus sending me videos, climbing alma mater and running through the streets and stuff like that. Like, you don't really realize it when you're not on campus, like, mm-hmm. how big of a deal it was. So to get videos like that and see pictures, and, you know, I had people reaching out to me. It was like a birthday. Like, I had text like it was my birthday. Like, after the Iowa State game and stuff, I mean, my phone was blowing up. So it was pretty cool just to see kind of how much attention was on the second weekend.
Pipes has a slew of questions for you, so I'm going to get this last one in here and then let him go. We always talk about as fans, when you get to that second weekend, it's cool as a fan because you get to hear about your team for another week. There's the anticipation of a Thursday or a Friday game. You guys not only had that, you then gave us a weekend game as well, this time on a Saturday against UConn. As a player, as fun as going to March Madness and the tournament is that first week, because you're coming off a Big Ten championship, you're getting ready to go to that first week, what is the intensity level? How much does it go up knowing you've gotten past that first weekend and now you got the second weekend to even keep playing?
Yeah, it's a lot different. The first two games that we played good teams, but they were mid-major teams. So, you know, when we got to the Sweet 16, I mean, we had Iowa State or UConn and then San Diego State. So we knew that, I mean, those teams they played really good competition all season. And that's not taking anything away from the first two teams that we played. It's just when you get into those high-major schools that, you know, win their conference. I mean, we played two conference champions back-to-back in the tournament. So we knew it would just be a different level of intensity when we got there.
Luke, I know in talking to you along the way, you guys all were pretty much on the same page of the Sweet 16 is not what we're here for. We're here for the next step and the next step and the next step. We want to cut down the nets. But now that the tournament's over, now that you've been back, has it allowed you to appreciate the different steps that you guys took to get to the Sweet 16 for the first time in forever? I know that you guys did appreciate it, but maybe then had to be laser focused on the next opponent. Have you now been able to let that soak in a little bit more?
Yeah, a little bit. You kind of look back at it after, you know, all the smoke clears and can take a step back and, you know, think to yourself that that's pretty cool what we did. When you do look back at it, you know, the biggest thing about the Big Ten tournament in recent time is people say, like, there's not much success after you win win the Big Ten tournament. So it's one of those things that, you know, I think we kind of, beat that stereotype and, you know, kind of got, Brad's biggest knock off of his back, you know, and he's not a second weekend coach. So being able to, you know, kind of knock down those stereotypes for our program in the Big Ten, I think was it was pretty good for the program. Yeah.
Brad's not going to accept any excuses in terms of games on back-to-backs or short prep and playing the Big Ten tournament to three games, 3 days and whatnot. But were you guys tired at all? Was it something that you experienced? Because you guys played Thursday, right? If I'm remembering, it's been a long month.
Oh, yeah. Hosed by the NCAA.
The last game on Sunday and then had to play Thursday. Like, were you guys fatigued? And how was it to actually then shift the focus and get ready for the tournament?
Yeah, I don't think it was much fatigue, honestly, because it was such a big stage. Like, it's one of those things, if you can't get ready for these games, like, you got a problem. So if you can't be ready to play UConn in the Elite Eight, you know, after a late game, then you got a bigger issue than just being tired. So, our coaches did a great job. When we practiced at the sites, we weren't really going that hard. It was more just scouting. They did a good job getting us mentally prepared. We did walkthroughs before every game instead of full-on practices and stuff like that. But, the coaching staff did a great job. And, it was definitely tiring. The NCAA, you know, people have their opinions about them. But a 9:20 start time is pretty insane, to be honest. I mean, even for the national championship, to start at 9:30, you know, Eastern time is pretty crazy, but it is what it is. You just kind of got to deal with it. You can't change it. So at the end of the day, it wasn't that bad.
That Iowa State game, how long will that one stick in your memory? And just obviously you stepped up and made a huge three, Terrence off the bench in foul trouble making one, and just the excitement of pulling that one out, because you guys really punched them early in that first half. They fought back. They're a good team. And just the intensity in that building was pretty crazy. So what do you make of that, just kind of that lasting memory and you stepping up in a big moment?
Yeah, it's you know, it's kind of what you work for, and just those situations and opportunities like that with Terrence out all game. You know, guys needed to step up. We actually ran a couple lineups that we didn't run all season. I think it was Dane Coleman, me, Quincy, and Marcus. So I mean, that's that, you know, lineup has never really been in together. So different guys needed to step up at different times. I thought Dre had some really good minutes in the tournament, but you know, it all just being able to you know, step into that role and that opportunity was pretty special against Iowa State.
And then here comes UConn, and obviously going into this tournament, a lot of people kind of penciled them in as the team that would win the national title. You felt like they were the best of the best. They went ahead and proved it as you went along. But what was that? What was that task like, getting done with Iowa State, knowing you've got one day to prep for probably, well, not probably, the favorite to win the NCAA tournament? What was that like? And then what was it, I guess, I mean, you guys played one hell of a first half against that team. Was it during that time that you're like, well, hey, we can play with these guys, that's not a problem? You probably didn't even think of that going in.
Yeah, it was, you know, it's just another team for us. Yeah. You know, that was our mindset at the end of the day. Obviously, they're a really good team, and haven't won a tournament game in the last two tournaments by less than double digits.
That's crazy.
We knew going into the game they were really good. You know, at halftime, we got it to 23-23 after spotting them 9 points at the beginning of the game. So, you know, we were confident at that point, and they literally just nothing went on. Nothing went well in the second half. I mean, we turned the ball over, didn't make shots, and their offense is elite, so you can't. It's funny because all the other teams, we, you know, we knew their top five sets and practiced them and scouted them, and UConn is just like, there's too many sets, so we just scouted actions. It's just one of those. Anybody will tell you that. I talked to Fletch last night for 30 minutes after their game, and he's just like, man, the offense is just tough. Their guards are tough. They had clinging to guard Edie, so they could take all the guards away and be fine and let Edie get his. You know, it was he had to work hard for his points, but you know, UConn is they were special this year for sure.
Let me dumb it down for 2 seconds. When you say sets, we all remember playing high school basketball where you came down, and if you knew the team was going to be in man to man, or you knew they were going to be in a 2-3, you maybe had 2 or 3 different looks on offense you could give them. What does a normal college team have? Like you said, you could kind of go against five of a certain team, knowing that most of the time they're going to be trying to do this, and then it kind of flares off from that. I mean, are you talking UConn has 10 more than that? I mean, is it just unlimited?
Yeah, well, UConn is a lot like Purdue. They have tags to their different actions. Mm. So they have like base actions, and then they'll have tags to it to get, you know, a post up or a down screen or middle ball screen. They have different stuff that they can do, and that's kind of what UConn is, but they have so many different like base sets that is so hard to scout, you know. And every school is different. We probably had, you know, 30, 40, 50 plays, and we ran like 3 all season. It was a high ball screen for Terrence, or a pistol action for Marcus, or you know, a little nose action for Terrence. So it just depends on what program it is and what they do. But you know, UConn is basically unscoutable is the word.
Nose and what was the other? You're starting to sound like pistol. Football players.
It was a pistol action. That's universal. Nose is a little different. That was just the off ball screen for Terrence. But
fair enough.
I mean, we basically ran the same stuff all season. So
perfect.
Yeah,
Lou Goody here in studio with us here in Philo. I got to ask you. You mentioned a little bit last night. Just, I'm sure you were pulling for Purdue with your boy Fletcher on that side, and obviously they played a great first half, and Edie was eaten, but it does kind of say something about UConn. You can play that well, and you're still like, it felt like Bama bombed a bunch of threes, and they were still like 2 possessions down, and Purdue was just a little bit down, or they're even, and obviously UConn pulled away. So what were your big takeaways? Not that you, I mean, you're pretty familiar with both teams, but just what did you take from last night's game?
Yeah, well, I told everybody before the game last night that Purdue was going to get killed. And that's just, I mean, that's just what it is. Like, we were arguably top three hottest team in the country when we played UConn.
Yes.
And lost by 25. Alabama was like 10 of 15 from three in the first half or something crazy and was still down at halftime. And Zach Edey had, what, 25 at half or something crazy like that? And they were losing by six. So, I mean, there's just so much that you can do. And I think it's just, you know, the ability of the starting five for UConn and the big guy off the bench makes a difference. You know, it's there's not a weakness on any of their players. Both all five to seven rotation guys on UConn are really good offensive players and really good defense. So you couldn't really, you know, every other team that we played during the season, we attacked like the weak link, you know, on offense or on defense, we would help off of a guy. But with them, you can't do that. All their guys can shoot, all their guys can guard. And, you know, whether that's development or just the guys they recruit, you know, I guess that's good coaching by them, but they just got some good players, really.
Were you satisfied with one shining moment? There's a lot of Line of fans that are not. I thought the squirt guns got snubbed.
Come on, I agree.
That should have definitely been
I agree. I thought my my gun celebration should have been in there, too, to be honest. I don't know if you saw that one on Twitter. Yeah, Griffin Moore said if that was in there, he was going to never watch March Madness again. So, but, yeah, I mean – it was pretty spot on because one of the clips was Coleman yelling at the crowd, and the other one was him yelling at the ref. So,
yeah,
and then Ty crying. So I think that sums up the March Madness for us. You know,
was the crowd yell? Was that the Duane game? I can't remember.
He does it every game.
Probably every, yeah, it could have been any time.
I mean, pick a game and he's done it. Yeah, you can find a clip from that game.
Oh man! All right, Luke Goody is our guest. We got to take catch a quick break. When we come back, we'll tell you again our great sponsors that made this happen all season. Derek said it early, and I dropped the ball. Thanks for coming into the studio. I mean, it's great having you on every week, but for you to actually make the trek down to the big town of Philo, we really appreciate it. I mean that.
Of course. Thank you. It's 100%. Only 20 minutes away.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just kind of a cap off to the season. Did it last year, so perfect. Might as well do it again, right?
Perfect. I love it. And, yeah, get you out. Get the windows down today.
No doubt. Feels like I'm on a podcast or something. Just talk about sports. I'm good.
Hey, let's
go. I can do that all day.
I tell you what, I've always said, like, well, I don't want you to give away too much, maybe. Like this summer, if you're around, you ever want to come do the show with us?
Hey,
you're more than welcome to come in and join us for a couple of hours.
I don't watch baseball as much as you guys do, but we can talk about transfer portal, summer league, any of that
That'd
stuff.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'm down.
Be awesome to have Luke Goody come down and join us. Maybe when I take another day off, Luke.
Yeah, I mean, there's like three times this year where, you know, Derek would say, oh, yeah, Lon's in Florida. Lon's gone. He's out again.
Me and Luke are going to go fishing for a show, and you got to do the show.
I'm going to do the show by myself or with Kyle, and we'll just talk Cubs baseball the whole time. Yuck. That would be bad. Back with Luke Goody. More of that. It is The Drive.
The sounds of spring and the smell of flowers in the air, they all add up to Spring Green, America's neighborhood lawn care team. They become your favorite through quality service and professionalism. Spring Green will service and maintain your lawnscape with seeding, aeration, fertilizing, disease, and insect control. Over 32 years of satisfied customers reflect their commitment to Champaign-Urbana and the Mattoon-Charleston area. Call Spring Green at 217-359-2111 or online at spring-green.com.
As Tapman's Towing celebrates 50 years of serving Central Illinois, we're always seeking good people to serve our great customers. Our team of expert tow professionals would like to interview others with CDLs, previous tow experience, or a strong interest in serving others. If you enjoy serving people, love working in the outdoors, and looking for a career, not just a job, we should talk soon. Do you have a strong desire but lack the experience? We should still talk. Visit our career page at tapmanstowing.com.
At Pards in Urbana, the boots just keep on coming. They're known for their huge collection of men's cowboy boots, women's cowgirl boots, kids' boots, and even shoes. If you're searching for top footwear brands, look no further than Pards. They carry a wide variety, including Ariat, Dan Post, Smoky Mountain, Roper, Double H, and more. And if socks or accessories are what you need, they've got all your high-quality essentials. Since 1968, Pards has been serving their customers with high-quality merchandise. And if you haven't been to Pards in a while, a lot has changed. Go check them out just off University Avenue in Urbana.
BMW, Buick, GMC, Honda, and Subaru. Welcome to Sarah Champagne. We can handle all your car repairs on site, including paintless dent repair, bumpers, windshields, everything in between. We have an amazing selection of new or pre-owned vehicles to choose from. Shop from home and buy online or reserve your vehicle before it hits our website or dealership. Sarah Champagne is home of the Sarah One Price Promise, delivering an honest and transparent buying experience. Hurry in or shop online at sarahchampagne.com.
This is XYZ Insurance. How can I help?
I have a question about my home policy.
Okay, question about phone policy.
Home policy.
Okay, gnome policy.
H-O-M-E, home.
Technology is great, but sometimes it's better to talk with a real person. With Erie Insurance, you have a caring, independent agent who's with you from beginning to end.
We don't have any H-O-M-E's on record.
Your Erie agent in Champaign is Thomas and Eller's Insurance. Go to ErieInsurance.com for company licensure and product details.
By now, you've all heard the expression, when you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9481 for PDR Automotive. They are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR. But who are they? They, the PDR staff, understand that a name is only as good as the people that represent it. The PDR staff has more than 335 years of combined automotive experience, several employees now on staff for more than 25 years. PDR, more than just a name. Family owned and operated, now celebrating over 50 years in business.
At ABC Heating and Air, it's our promise to help you always be comfortable. Do you need rescued because you're burning hot? Do you need rescued because your air is shot? Call ABC Heating and Air at 352-5400 and let us rescue you from the heat. ABC Heating and Air, 352-5400. Can't you see you need to call me at ABC? Call ABC Heating and Air. That's ABC Heating and Air, 352-5400.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery. It's time to come home to Carpet Weavers. We don't want you to just like your new floors. We want you to love them. From waterproof floors and carpet to furnitures and design advice, we've got a team of experts on your side. We'll get you the best price and the best quality products. And complete your home with furniture and accessories. Buy it all with free financing too. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
Local, personal, trusted. Hi, this is Atta Durakan with First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana, and we've been serving Champaign County since 1908. Our institution is safe, strong, and stable. We operate on a foundation of responsible and sound practices, and you can rest easy knowing we're your bank. Rated 5-star superior by Bauer Financial, Inc., fast, friendly, and local. With local loan decisions and underwriting, if you're not already banking with us, give us a try, and we think you'll love it here. First Federal Savings Bank, 356bank.com, member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS, 435-120.
Hi, I'm Makaira Cook, and I'm here to talk about Pacifica on Green.
So what do you like about this place and living here?
Oh, I love this place. It's such a luxury apartment. There's plenty of amenities. There's a very nice gym, and the rooms are awesome. So I just love it here.
Every floor has something fun. Do you go to the game room?
Yes, I go to the game room some nights, and I'll play with my friends. We'll play Mario Kart a lot, and my mom really likes the Pac-Man.
Live the way you've always wanted. Visit them at PacificaOnGreen.com.
Back, Luke Goody in studio, ESPN Radio 93.5. I'm a little discombobulated right now. Apologies.
Luke's breaking news.
I heard.
He just broke some news. What is it?
Finished the AP poll, number six this year.
That's
so it's
awesome.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
It's a big deal.
That is cool. What was kind of neat about it is that I didn't know that, and Derek was on the phone, and you just kind of looked at me. Luke looked at me, and he goes, hey, we finished sixth in the AP. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, yeah. It's top 10 is always pretty cool.
That's pretty sixth in the country. That's giving you guys your respect.
It is, yeah, yeah. And it said the second time in the last 4 years, too, that we finished top 10 in the AP poll. So that's pretty good for the program.
That's awesome. You want to?
I got a. So I was making phone. I got a question submitted from Oven. I won't say by who, but I said anything that Luke Goody should be asked on air, and one of them was, how's his golf swing these days?
Ooh, from Oven. So let me think about who would ask you that. Tyler Underwood. Maybe can't deny your sources.
I will not reveal my sources.
Yeah. No. Okay, it was good. It's okay. It needs some work. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, I haven't. We try well. So what Coleman loves to do is they love to guilt me into playing. So it'll be like 45 degrees and sunny, and they'll be like, "All right, come on, you gotta play." I'm like, "Bro, it's 45 degrees." So they like tried to force it back in March, you know, and like the first nice day, and you know, it just didn't go great. So I definitely got to work on it.
Who's the best player on the team, golf wise?
Oh, me for sure.
Oh, he still is. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I just like.
Are you just saying that, or are you
actually like the only other person that golfs for real is Coleman?
Oh, okay. Yeah. All
right. And AJ's tried to golf, but I mean, it just turned into I like hole three. Just turned into him just finding balls in the water and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. He's the little kid over here, little brother.
I mean, it's a good time. Like, he's fun to be out there with, but I mean, it's not really like competitive. And Coleman's gotten a lot better. I'll give him that, but I'm still better. Okay, for sure.
All right.
Do they have clubs big enough for Coleman?
He got some customized, and they're still too small. So he's like, bent over in a squat trying to hit. It's funny. Yeah,
that's funny. I've never thought of something like that.
Yeah,
like there's challenges to be 6'10" or up.
Yeah.
In life, you know, Yeah, go ahead.
There's no referees to complain with.
Yeah, exactly.
In golf, though. Like, what does he do?
He complains to me. Yeah, he just complains to me. Complains at his club, starts his club,
Goes into the club pro, like, this was not fair today. And
These greens were not trimmed well.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Hole placements, you know. Anyways.
I love it.
All right, so with last night's game being over, everybody's season, this season is, the book is shut.
Yep.
Can you let us know? And I think we're pretty familiar with what we know on the outside of, you know, player meetings happen, and you do probably take some time a little bit to yourself if you get a chance to go home or you just get a chance to live life as a normal student. But can you take us inside of just now that you're after the Elite Eight, what was the week, 2 weeks after that like for you, and what's it like in the quote-unquote off season for a basketball player here in the spring?
Yeah, well, you know, my parents offered up a free trip to Florida after we lost.
Boom.
So went down there for my sister's spring break for a couple of days. So that was nice, get away. But, you know, I'm going to meet with Coach sometime this week, just talk about everything and just working out. That's really what it is. You know, I'll go back to Fort Wayne in May and in June, you know, do my workouts there and get back in the gym with all the guys that, you know, play basketball that are from Fort Wayne, which is a lot, which is pretty cool. You know, 3 Fort Wayne players to be in the Elite Eight is pretty
wow,
sweet.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. It is, and one other played at Grambling State, so there are five guys from Fort Wayne in the tournament this year, which is pretty cool. So you know, a lot of kids growing up in Fort Wayne can watch it and you know, aspire to be like us, so that's pretty cool. But you know, and then we just be back here in June for summer workouts, so you know, whatever that entails.
Is it important to sit and talk to Coach before you make a decision? Or have you made a decision?
Yeah, it is important. There's definitely a lot of things that you know, need to be said and got to talk to him about. You know, especially after a long season like that. You know, luckily I was able to play every game this season. So knock on wood, first time at being at the school that I've been able to play. So that's a blessing. But yeah, you know, you just got to sit down. You know, talk about a bunch of different things and then go from there.
Do players talk amongst themselves about how they're feeling? Like, I know you've been through a couple of these off seasons to where, did you know this guy was going to portal? Was there a surprise guy? Like, oh, I thought he was coming back and then he's out. Not you don't have to give names, but
right.
Do you get surprised? Do you talk to teammates about where they're at? What's that feel like as you guys are so close together for like the 6 months of the season and then it's time to make individual decisions on what you're going to do next? How informed are you usually about how that works?
Yeah, you are a little bit. Some guys definitely wear their heart on their sleeve more than others. So some you'll just be like, oh yeah, it's done. The day the season's over, it's, you know, they're gone. But You know, others, I think it's more of a decision based on, you know, who they bring in, what there has said and been said in the meetings, you know, other people that have reached out to them. So there's just so many factors that go into it. But I would say I've been right probably 75% of the time since I've been in Illinois. So not giving names, but I'm right most of the time.
All right, let's cut the mics. And
you need to get him as a source.
Let's get the names.
Yeah. You need to get him as a source. Yeah, Coleman, obviously, hopefully in the NBA and such, but doesn't he have enough fun here to come back another season? I mean, is there any guy?
We were messing with him today. Griffin thinks he's going to come back, but I don't. I think Coleman's ready to move on. He's done his time here. Been super successful. 3 championships is, you know, that's pretty impressive. And then an Elite Eight for him is pretty impressive. So, you know, his career at Illinois has been nothing but great. And,
it has.
You know, I think whatever he decides to do, whether it be come back, go to a different school, or go to the NBA,
right.
I think it's just, you know, not a single Illinois fan should be mad at his decision, regardless of what it is, just based on what he's done for this program and the time that he's put in.
How much do you pay attention to the portal? Who goes in? Maybe guys you played against, you're familiar with, or on the note of people that the Big Ten might add, that Illinois might add. It's wild how many names are in. It's over 1,000 already. It was probably in the first week, and the list just continues to grow.
Yeah, it's wild, especially like the thing that I don't like. I'm gonna go off on a little tangent here. Okay?
Here we go.
I hate when coaches will switch jobs and take other jobs randomly, like just overnight, and for more money or a different opportunity, and people have no problem with that. But when a student athlete does it, then it's an issue. That's the one thing that I don't like, you know, about the whole situation. Like, you know, just some coaches that'll leave and take more money or a better opportunity, and then fans want to complain when players do it. Like, it's essentially the same thing, you know. If you feel like your situation's not great, or you know you can go get more money somewhere else, why don't you? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of the thing. But you know, in terms of transfer portal, I do keep up with it, especially guys on our team and that we're being recruited by. But I mean, 90% of the names that people throw out on social media won't even be close to coming to Illinois. I mean, it's insane. Like I'll scroll through Twitter and like the fans will just throw out names that I'm like, that is insane. Like,
you mean
like,
Hunter Dickinson wasn't
like,
coming here
yeah,
last year?
Like, it's just like they're like convinced that Illinois is going to get all these people, and it's like, okay, maybe yeah, we're recruiting them, but like it's just not even realistic. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just the people that think will be at Illinois next season that they're sure are going to be there, I guarantee like only 20% of the names will be.
It's crazy. So
it's wild.
Does it feel like a business to you?
In a sense. I mean, at the end of the day, it's still college basketball. So, I mean, college basketball was the same thing before a transfer portal, and it still is. People are still watching. The numbers are still going up. Mm-hmm. You know, people still love watching college basketball. So, at the end of the day, you know, it's just people's opinions now. And, I mean, I don't know if they're mad that players are getting paid now or the transfer portal or what it is or what they dislike, but college basketball is still great. I mean, we still have the same announcers in college basketball, the same turnouts at games, like, you know, the same fan support, the same following and viewership in the national championship game, all that stuff. So regardless of, you know, what happens in the off season, I think it's turned into a little bit more of a business, almost like a free agency in a sense.
There's no doubt.
Yeah, no doubt to that. Like, I'm not naive to that fact, but we watched the same national championship that we did 6-7 years ago. So, and it's just as good basketball.
I mean, it's crazy. Like, as a, let's say, Cardinal baseball fan, I sit there in the offseason. I'm like, well, we need to add this. I'm making this up. Might need a right fielder, might need a third baseman. I mean, do you guys sit there and say, well, we need a point guard now, and we need, you know, a stretch guy if Coleman doesn't come back, and we need this. And then do you try to piece together who could come here and who you may want to play with? Or do you just let the chips fall?
Yeah, I'm more of a guy that just lets the chips fall. Yeah. You know, I have no control over it, so I'm not going to worry about something I can't control. You know, and I think also, like, what we've kind of got away with is, like, people got to realize that all the guys that are coming back are going to be developed too. Like, you know, I was lifting this morning, and Ty was in there working on his jump shot. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Imani, you just talked about maybe a stretch guy coming back for Coleman. Well, why can't that be Imani? Why do we have to go for the portal or go to the portal for that stuff? So there's just different things that, you know, you gotta consider when you talk about that stuff. But at the end of the day, I just kind of let it be because, I mean, like I said earlier, like 90% of the names being thrown out there that, you know, these Illinois fans are putting their hearts on, they're just not going to be here.
Yep.
And that's just the realistic fact of it.
Let's ask you about that. What do you think of the group that could come back as far as what that looks like and the ability, maybe some guys to take some jumps like you just mentioned?
Yeah, I mean, the guys that have already said they're coming back, you know, Dre, I don't know if Imani's officially announced it or not, but, you know, the guys that, you know, Nico and Ty, you know, those guys, they're going to be great in the offseason. I think Nico has a chance to be one of the better true point guards in the Big Ten. I mean, he's special, man. Like, in practice, I mean, he was making plays, and there are just some times where you're like, man, like, he can pass the ball. He can handle the ball. So, you know, hopefully he develops more with his body. I think that's one of the biggest things. But his skill is just – I mean, he's really good. He's a really good player. So I'm excited to see his development. You know, Sincere, I supposedly announced. I don't know what that was about. But, you know, if he does come back, he's been great. He posted his highlight film, so I'm sure people watch that. But, you know, he's gotten a lot better. So just the guys that, you know, can develop and come back and know the system will, you know, they have a bright future.
We got a question on the U of I Atlanta League text line about John Sanderson, who was added for the postseason run. What did he bring to you guys? I know he was close buddies with Fletch and former strength coach at Michigan.
Yeah, he was awesome, man. He's one of the highest character dudes I've met in a short period of time. And hell of a run for him with the Illini.
Yeah,
yeah, no doubt.
My goodness, 6-1 and an Elite Eight in a Big Ten championship. Can't get much better than that. So
can't let him leave.
Yeah, I know. He might be a good luck charm. You know, I don't know if I'm supposed to speak on what he's doing. You know, that's kind of his business.
Probably
but
not. I got you.
But, you know, what he did for us was nothing short of amazing. He was getting us in the hot tubs, doing stretches every day, gave Fletch a huge help during the tournament. And that was one of those things, man, that you can't really take for granted. You know, talking about the quick turnarounds, he was in there working with us, and we had two people instead of one. And he's Fletch's mentor. So all the people that, you know, talk about how Fletch is one of the best out there, he taught him. So
yeah,
put
exactly.
that in perspective, you know, it's those two guys together are pretty special.
I did have a stat real quick.
Oh, yeah.
He was part of more Big Ten, as many Big Ten wins at the Big Ten tournament as Michigan had during the regular season. 3-3. Just for anybody that was curious.
Yeah, for anybody that's keeping track.
Just
I like it.
In case, can we do something about Brad and his shirt off all the time now? Is there anything, you know, where
he's too comfortable with this?
There's one night I've seen him in a cold tub. There's the next night he's running into the locker room. Look, I appreciate the fact he's lost some weight. He's done all that. Can we just keep the shirt on?
Yeah, that's also another thing I don't have control of. I thought it was a questionable move when he came into the locker room knowing that many cameras were going to be in there. But, you know, more power to him. He got out of the first weekend, so he was pretty happy. Yeah, I think that was after the Iowa State game, though, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
I mean, so anytime you get a chance. I mean, you saw Eric Musselman. I think
it's
a little bit, true.
A little bit different of a build, I would say. You know, he's a little more small.
Well, he's younger. I mean, that makes a difference.
Younger, but, like, it's the same. It's the same, man. Yeah. You know, he was just having fun with it. So I got to give credit to Coach Brad, too. You know, everybody thinks he's super serious and mean, and, like, he is. I mean, he is when it gets down to game time. But over this tournament and the postseason, that was the most laid-back, calm he's been that I've ever seen him at my 3 years at Illinois. So seeing him like that, I think that shows kind of a lot of growth of him as a coach and the trust that he had in us. I mean, I've never seen him more calm during games.
That's cool.
I mean, we were pregame and he was making jokes with us, and in the game, in the locker room, like watching the game before us, you know, while we were watching BYU Duquesne before our first round game. I mean, he was in there making jokes. I'm like, this is insane. Like, I've never seen him doing that. Like, he was in there messing around with us. So, you know, I think he took a big step in that way, kind of in the postseason, just letting up off the stress and just kind of letting, you know, the uncontrollables not control him. Yeah.
To stick up a little bit for Brad, I say if he gets to the Final Four next year, you take the pants off too.
I don't even care about
that's
the shirt.
That's crazy.
The shirt and the pants.
I wouldn't play in the Final Four.
I'm
not the one in the locker room that he's running into.
Disgusting.
I don't think I'm for that. I know we've got a little heavy here, and we need to get out of here. Appreciate Luke Goody coming in. What was his message? I know I don't want you to take us in and listen to what is being said, but what was the message kind of like after that UConn game for you guys? I mean, was it more about, man, this has been a great run for this season?
Yeah, it was. It was emotional, man. Like, well, this was the closest team I've been to since my senior year of high school. And, you know, it's the most fun I've had with a group of guys. Talk about ups and downs of a season. I mean, my goodness, with, you know, everything that happened midway through the season and, you know, all that stuff and bringing on a new strength coach. There's just so many different things. And, you know, we were just able to stay level-headed. You know, I think a lot of guys stepped up that, I mean, we had no idea Marcus was going to be a 16 a game guy and have a triple double. I mean, he's just, he was special this season. So he didn't play with us in Spain, so we had no idea what he was going to be. And he came into fall ball and really played well. So it was just one of those things that he said we just ran into a good team at the wrong time, and that was really just what it was. You know, I think if we play them 10 times, we'll win maybe 3 or 4. You know, they're a really good team, and we just didn't play a good half at the end of the day. So he said he didn't want that to, you know, damper what we accomplished on the season. And that was kind of the message that, you know, we're going to go down in history, man.
Elite Eight
for the first time since 2004?
2005.
With the undefeated team. So we need to do something that hasn't been done in almost 20 years for a program that's Illinois. That's pretty cool.
Amen. Yeah. I'll let Pipes have the last word. But does I know you don't get in it anymore, but does DeMass still have the car?
He got a new car. No, it broke down. Yeah.
Oh, it finally was dead. Yeah. Okay.
It died. Yeah, it died. So he had to buy it. It was funny. He had to buy a new car, and he was not happy with that. We were making fun of him because he can't eat out anymore and stuff like that. I got you tonight. I got dinner on me tonight, Mark. Yeah, you just bought a new car, so yeah.
Oh, did that happen after the postseason or during?
No, I think it was during. I'm pretty sure it was like after the Big Ten tournament. I think because I always had to drive him to the airport because he was worried his car was going to shut down on the way. So I think we got back and he tried to start it and it didn't start.
It was that was
an oven or something. I don't know. So it was dead and he traded in and bought a new car. So yeah, I'll spot him a couple of dinners.
How he put a triple double up under those circumstances?
I know.
That's wild. I know. Maybe
he
was holding $20
on the trade in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He paid them to take it. He paid an extra $20 for them to take it. Yeah.
I wish we could go an extra 20 minutes, but our time is up. Luke, you did a phenomenal job all season long joining us. We appreciate
you
as always. Obviously, it was great to watch you on the court, but every week joining us, giving us the ins and outs, your take on everything. You're really, really good at this, and we're really fortunate to have you on here. So thank you, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you for another great season. It was fun, man. I enjoy talking to you guys every week.
Let's go.
If you want to do it for another one, let us know.
Let's go. Let's go. Hey, great stuff. Let's say goodbye because we are long. And Kyle, you should see the looks I'm getting from the other room. No, actually, he's not.
I don't even care.
He's actually not, and he's in another room, so we don't have to worry with it. Sorry. Thanks, buddy.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
Good stuff. We'll just see everybody tomorrow.
I will. Everybody have a great night. We'll talk to you then. This is The Drive.